Good evening, everyone. Welcome. We have some new people that are joining us for the first time live this evening. I was taking a look in band, and welcome to the live version. It's not much different from the recorded one. Is it live or is it Memorex? Boy, that's an old one. I'm going to start off with 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this evening. The entire chapter. It's not very long. Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us this ministry, we do not lose heart. Instead, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We did not open practice. We do not practice deceit. Nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by open proclamation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. Who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassingly great power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on all sides, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always consigned to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And in keeping with what is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken," we who have the same spirit of faith also believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in His presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is extending to more and more people may overflow in thanksgiving and to glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. For our light and our momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal glory that is far beyond comparison. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I'd like to go to Romans 14, verses 5 and also 11, 5 through 19, but we'll get through that. Romans 14. Verse 5. One person regards a certain day above the others, while someone else considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes a special day does so to the Lord. He who eats does so to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Why then do you judge your brother, or why do you belittle your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, verse 11, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. And finally, verse 12, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We'll go to Revelation 16 a little bit later on. As you can see, the title of this evening's live stream is Every Knee. The reason I picked that particular title for this evening's live stream is because we continue to see from the likes of Joe Biden, the leaders of other nations, cities and counties, municipalities, all around the world that are pushing the new mandates. They act in a state of hubris, something we've talked about quite a bit here. They think more of themselves than they should. They're full of themselves, as I like to say. They believe they can push humanity around with their mandates. They believe that they can get every knee to bow to their Lord, the Antichrist. Once again, we're seeing the counterfeit of God's plan, God's design, God's word in the form of the gospel and the scriptures, the entirety of the Bible. I I shared a couple of things with you this evening that we're going to go through from band. I have a couple of video clips that I'd like to share with you, and we'll kind of take these apart, analyze them a little bit. I leave it to you to do the majority of the analysis, because you're all independent thinkers and you're good critical thinkers. Your critical thinking skills can easily dissect the videos that I'm going to present tonight. I began with scripture, and I offered in band that some of the information that we have posted, we should apply the patch 180. And for new people, that means we take what is presented in the mainstream narrative and turn it 180 degrees around, thus revealing the truth of what they're actually saying, what they are actually portraying. So with these video clips and these articles and the transcripts and the things that we've posted in band yesterday and today, what the leaders in their hubris demand is that we all bend our knee, bow our knee to them in these mandates, and we will not. For we are commanded by a higher authority than a mere president, prime minister, or even dictator. And we follow the commands of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only authority we answer to. We don't answer to mankind. We don't answer to Caesar. We are not rendering to Caesar. These are a different time, a different season. This is the end time. Because it is the end time, because we are going down that slippery slope on the other side of mid-trib into the great tribulation with the ominous signs of the reset to come, and therefore the revealing of the Antichrist, the rules are different. We are not rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. We do not give homage. We do not bend our knee to the leaders of this world. This is a different time. Because of the wheat and tares, because of the separation, the rules are different. There's a set of rules that apply to the wheat, you and I, and a set of rules that apply to the tares. They are choosing to follow Satan. We have all chosen to follow our Lord and Savior. Satan will be given his day, his diem. But it's a very short day, just like today, December 21st, the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, the longest night of the year. It represents how short a time Satan actually has. And that time that Satan believes he has will be cut even shorter upon the return of Jesus Christ. I had this past week, we've had many, many conversations with many of you by phone and by Skype. And in one of those conversations, I suggested that because the rules are different with respect to the end times, the latter days, that when we look at and apply familiar scripture in the modern day context, it requires a different interpretation based on that context. It doesn't mean we're changing the words. It does not mean that we're reading into scripture that which is not already there in the scripture. It means that interpretation is based upon one's context. one's viewpoint, one's paradigm. And thus I ask the question, or pose the critical thinking scenario in this conversation, of how short will those days be? By what degree, by what measure, by what length will the Lord cut the days short? Will it be a month, 6 months, cut off the great tribulation of 3.5 years? Could it even be that it would be shortened down to 1 year of the great tribulation? You see, it is open to interpretation, because Satan is given the ability to change the seasons, to change time, to change the laws during his brief reign. I would venture to say that so too is the Lord, and more, given the authority to change the times, to change the season, to change the laws. Because they're different in the end times. And at the end of this time, every knee will bow to the Lord. And this is the agenda, this is the goal of Satan through the spirit, his spirit, of the Antichrist. To render everyone as a servant, as a slave, as a serf class. And now we see the most disturbing news regarding the vaccinating of children. What did Jesus Christ say about harming any one of these little ones? Better to put a millstone around your neck and toss yourself in the sea than to harm any of these children. You see, there's a repercussion to harming those children through these vaccines. There's a spiritual repercussion. There is a judgment that comes down, especially a harsh judgment upon those that harm children. You and all, I can all relate to that. We are all very protective of children, our own and others. I want to recount for you an event that took place today in our neighborhood. It's not tragic, happy ending. But a family across the street from us, in our little town of 900 people, the father has a home-based business. It's a woodworking business. And he works long hours every day of the week. Good Christian family. Two little boys. Grandma's living with them. 5 o'clock this morning, they were awakened to the smell of smoke in the home. The adjoining wood shop had a flash fire that took place. On the floor, the sawdust that had accumulated flashed over and most fortunately self-extinguished. The point of origin of the fire was a fan, a ventilation fan. It apparently overheated and short-circuited and sparked and caught the sawdust on fire. Again, it just flashed across the floor and went out. Possibly because of the cold temperatures that we have here. It's been snowing and there's snow accumulation. But I said to the grandmother, I said, again, and very good Christian family, I said to her, that was the intervening of our Lord and Savior, who saved you and the family. So they were able to get out without any trouble. The fire department arrived. The fire was already out. They checked everything, making sure that there would not be another event, a rekindle. And everybody was safe and sound. But life can change so very quickly, in a flash. And I think of the two young boys and how young they are, just little ones. And our sense of protecting them rises up in the midst of a crisis. Our protective nature, our righteous anger in the face of a threat to a child. It's how God created us to be. I think of my own two girls, now grown and on their own. I think of Kathleen's three boys, grown and on their own. I think of the children that you all have shared with us. I think you all will join with me in righteous indignation in defense of these children that are being forced, the innocent ones being forced to take these vaccines. I hold Caesar responsible for this. I hold the rulers, I hold the kingdoms responsible for this. And this is why when Jesus Christ returns with sword in hand, he will lop off the heads of kings, for they are responsible. We ourselves share conversations by phone and Skype, by emails, by banned posting, of how frustrated we get, how angry we get, and how the world has completely changed since January of last year. And in the face of what is happening to children now, we tend to put our cares, our personal concerns aside. We forget about ourselves in the moment and we focus on the children. And this is how it should be. In putting aside ourselves and our concerns for ourselves and concerns for other adults that are able and to manage for themselves, we go to the innocents that cannot fend for themselves. I think this represents a tipping point. It's one thing when we as adults stand on the front lines as warriors, as fighters, as witnesses, and we fight as adults for one another. But the dynamic of warfare changes in the presence of children that are under threat. I suggest to you that this is a turning point. We will not go down on bended knee before the Bidens of the world, the morons of the world. I can appreciate someone in band posted just before the live stream began that they could only assume that Biden being where he is and acting as he is only because it's part of God's plan, and I wholeheartedly agree with you that this moron is in the position that he's in only because it serves God's purpose. And right now, that purpose is the strong delusion. He is deluded. He is delusional. He, like so many others, as Caesar, whom we do not give unto, do not bow before, they serve God's purpose. We can't see the whole thing. We don't know the whole picture. But we know where the story is headed. We know where it leads us, as reflected in the scriptures I just shared with you. You know, we're approaching Christmas on Saturday, and I'm in a sober mood tonight. I don't want to say a somber mood, but a sober mood. I think about this family across the street, and everybody's fine. But you can well imagine how it could all be so different. Just before Christmas. No doubt there were guardian angels protecting that family. I have no doubt about that. And I spoke with the father, and he's taking appropriate measures to prevent any repeat of such a potential tragedy. I'm sorry, it brings to mind for me personally recollections of not Christmas past, but my own experience as a paramedic and the tragedies, especially surrounding the Christmas holidays. I don't even recall being at home with my own family on Christmas during my career. I always worked on Christmas. And there were always the tragedies that happened around the holidays and on Christmas. And I'm sorry if I'm taking away from the joy and the celebration of this holiday season. But it's a different kind of Christmas, isn't it? It is a time when you and I are mindful of the birth of Jesus Christ and the path that was laid out before him. And as he became a young boy, he understood. And as a young boy taught in the temple, he understood his destiny, his purpose. He knew what was before him, even as a young boy. We are here to celebrate that life, that death, that sacrifice, that resurrection, and that gift of salvation. That's what Christmas to me and to Kathleen represents. The gift of salvation. We are not deserving of it. None of us are. But we go down in our knees before God with a contrite heart. With nothing but humbleness, in thankfulness. That he has chosen all of you and us as his children to be saved. To be saved from that fire. To be saved from the lake of fire. For those like Joe Biden and all the others that we can cite and name, they serve God's purpose. But the end for them is to bow their knee before God. And then they will be cast into the lake of fire. That's not determined by us, that's determined by God, who goes to the lake of fire. A very sober topic, just days away from Christmas. But these are different days. I can still recall vividly the Christmases as a child in the 50s, in the 60s, you know, the traditional Christmas tree and the tinsel on the tree, and yes, even the little train going around the tree. The whole Hallmark Christmas card, Christmas scene from the 50s and 60s. That's where I grew up. Now I think of the children today that are being gifted with a vaccine, having a needle jammed in their shoulder days before Christmas. What kind of a Christmas gift is that? What kind of a world have they been born into where they can't even celebrate Christmas in the traditional fashion? Kathleen and I were talking yesterday about Charles Schulz, the Peanuts cartoonist. The Charlie Brown Christmas and those animated films and the music, the jazz of Vince Guaraldi from 1966. I was 13 years old when that came out. I think of growing up in the Charlie Brown era. Kathleen's favorite character, of course, is Snoopy. And she's often cited to me the story of how as a little girl, she had all of the Peanuts books, and she would read the adventures of Snoopy, and how she would be under the covers with the flashlight, and she'd be laughing and giggling to herself as little girls do, and her mother calling out and saying, "What are you laughing at? What's so funny?" And it was Snoopy. Remember the little bird Woodstock? How he would fly the crazy path? And I agree, those were my two favorite characters. Woodstock the bird and Snoopy the beagle. And how he would decorate his doghouse. And Charlie Brown would walk by, of course, and say, "Oh, good grief," because it's all adorned with lights, decorations, and overdone, of course, overdone. That's the world that many of us grew up in. In 1966 was the midst, right in the middle of the Vietnam War. How could a man like Charles Schulz dream up and pen such incredible, clean, simple, family-oriented humor. With all that was going on with the civil strife, the civil rights movement in the United States, and the Vietnam War. How could he do that? He was a man of God. He was a solid Christian man. And as Kathleen also said to me yesterday, we were speaking over lunch, God has a sense of humor. And the proof of that is our own sense of humor. Even on a day like this where I'm speaking to you in such a sober fashion. God is both sober, but with a sense of humor. And he conveys that to us even during the darkest days. He did so during the Vietnam era through Charles Schulz, making a little... making a little girl who probably did not even think about the Vietnam War. She was only concerned with what Snoopy was doing. I only pray that we all can return. That we can all return to that state of innocence at the end of this story. Back to the sobering information. If you will, please turn to band. This is from Disney. When I was growing up, Sunday nights we watched the Disney show, The Wonderful World of Disney, on Sunday nights. My mother and father, myself and my siblings. We grew up with Disney growing and becoming what it is. This is from 1994, and my two girls were 2 years and 4 years of age, respectively. And together we watched The Lion King, as many of you did with your children. I shared with you a clip. And I'm going to read first the lyrics to the song in this video clip, and then I'll play, if I'm successful, I'll play the video for you in the live stream. I know many of you already have through band, but there are many of you that are not in band or that are listening to this later, so we'll accommodate. Listen to this carefully. This is from The Lion King. The character, the lion, goes by the name Scar, S-C-A-R. I know this is familiar to you. The title of this video clip from The Lion King is Be Prepared. Here are the lyrics. This is Scar speaking. I know that your powers of retention are as wet as a warthog's backside. But thick as you are, pay attention. My words are a matter of pride. It's clear from your vacant expressions, the lights are not all on upstairs. But we're talking kings and successions. Even you can't be caught unawares. So prepare for a chance of a lifetime. Be prepared for sensational news. A shiny new era is tiptoeing nearer. The next character, Shenzi. And where do we feature? Scar answers. Just listen to teacher. I know it sounds sordid, but you'll be rewarded. When at last I am given my dues and injustice deliciously squared, be prepared. Banzai, the character. Yeah, be prepared. Yeah, huh? Yeah, we'll be prepared, huh? For what? Scar answers. For the death of the king. Banzai, why? Is he sick? Scar, no fool. We're going to kill him. And Simba too. Shenzi, great idea. Who needs a king? No king, no king. La, 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 la. Scar, idiots, there will be a king. Banzai, hey, but you said, Scar says, I will be king. Stick with me and you'll never go hungry again. Shenzi and Banzai, yay, all right. Long live the king. All the hyenas together now. Long live the king, long live the king. It's great that we'll soon be connected. Connected. With a king who will be all time adored. Scar speaking. Of course, quid pro quo. You're expected to take certain duties on board. The future is littered with prizes, and though I'm the main addressee, the point that I must emphasize is you won't get a sniff without me. So prepare for the coup of the century. Be prepared for the murkiest scam. Meticulous planning, tenacity spanning, decades of denial is simply why I'll be king, undisputed, respected, saluted, and seen for the wonder I am. Yes, my teeth and ambitions are bared. Be prepared. Yes, our teeth and ambitions are bared. Be prepared. Obviously, this is the Antichrist speaking. In 1994,
your powers of retention are as wet as a warthog's backside, but thick as you are, pay attention. My words are a matter of pride. It's clear from your vacant expressions, The lights are not all on upstairs. But we are talking kings and successions. Even you can't be caught unawares. So prepare for the chance of a lifetime. Be prepared for sensational news. A shiny new era is tiptoeing nearer.
And where do we feature?
Just listen to teacher. I know it sounds sordid, but you'll be rewarded when at last I am given my dues. And injustice deliciously square. Certain duties on board. The future is littered with prizes, and though I'm the main addressee, the point that I must emphasize is you won't get a sniff without me. So prepare for the cool of the century. Be prepared for the murkiest scam. Meticulous planning, tenacity spanning, decades of denial is simply why I'll be king undisputed, respected, saluted, and seen for the wonder I am. Yes, my teeth and ambitions are bared. Be prepared.
All right. Amazing that I played that for my own children back in the day. Didn't see it. Didn't recognize it. The rules have changed for today. You all, no doubt, are seeing things retrospectively through a different pair of glasses, through a different lens. You see things very clearly now. Scripture says that we used to see things darkly, dimly through the glass. But in the latter days, these days, we will see things much more clearly. This is the increase in knowledge that allows us to see things clearly. Makes things like scar. The name scar could be interpreted as mark, mark of the beast. He is a beast. We think of the image of the beast and the mortal head wound, and the world marvels at his recovery, his immortality. Marvels at his scar. I'd like to take you to another retrospective from 1992 in Barcelona, Spain, the opening ceremony of the Olympics. Please watch carefully. Thank you. 1992. Same time frame as the Scar video. Let me just give you a quick interpretation on my end of that opening ceremony. I'm sure you saw, you will see a lot more than I see as you go through it yourself. But at the beginning, they showed sun worship, all of those bright yellow, golden yellow figures on the playing field, signifying sun worship, at least in my interpretation. And then you see the golden figure, the animated figure, the giant, the Nephilim, that was being wheeled in by the cyclists, and the one individual upon which the essentially a robot figure of the Nephilim, the golden figure, animated figure, was literally riding on the shoulders and the back of the human. This is the Nephilim returning on the backs of humanity. The image of the beast. And then we see what looks like a dragon boat. Men with oars, looking like a shiny metallic rectangle. At the front, at the bow, the head of a dragon, a serpent. This is the image of the beast rising from the sea, and you see all the blue figures around, the individuals wearing the helmets and their circular tapestry that they wear and weave and bob and weave through. That's the sea of humanity from which the beast, the dragon, rises. And the oarsmen, each pulling an oar, and the paddle of each oar has a Greek letter, a different Greek letter on each of those paddles of each oar. To me, those represent the variants. And the dragon is delivering the variants. It's a Trojan horse that opens up and reveals its contents. This is the vaccine. This is the serpent. This is the venomous snake. And vaccines derived from snake venom. And it is revealed to the world that these are warriors on the backs of the dragon. And then we see the spike protein, 1992. The spike protein of the coronavirus enters in. And you see the silver spikes all moving about around the sphere, the globe. And the spike protein moves amongst the cells that appear as round spheres themselves that are blue with white speckles on them. These represent oxygen and oxygenated cells. This is the respiratory system that the spike protein is moving through on the game field, the playing field. And then you see the sails being hoisted on the dragon boat. And this represents the respiratory system, the wind of the lungs and the oxygenated cells, which they themselves represent the inflammatory response. And then we see a close-up of the spike protein And on the surface of the sphere of the spike protein of the coronavirus itself, the sphere of the coronavirus, we see embedded on the surface are humans. And these are the souls of the damned conveyed by the coronavirus. They were trying to tell us. Predictive programming, as many of us would call it and categorize it. Predictive programming, just like many of the movies that we've been citing for you lately, and even the documentary on CRISPR, CRISPR-Cas9. It's sobering to look back at some of these things with the new glasses that you and I all wear now. We see it so clearly. But the majority of humanity still looks through the glass dimly. They don't see it. And we express amongst ourselves our frustration that others don't see it. All part of God's design. You see, they would rather seek after that constructed by Satan, would rather seek the kingdom of Satan, the world itself, and not seek God. God gives them over to the strong delusion. Because like Joe Biden, they are delusional. You've expressed to us that you've noted the changes, the expected changes in behavior, the expected changes in personalities amongst the vaccinated, and that will continue to progress. Their delusional minds will be obvious to you and I. We will know them. I want to go back to band here for another moment. The delusional Joe Biden. If you're not fully vaccinated, you have good reason to be concerned, Biden went on, talking about the Omicron variant, now the dominant strain in the United States. Almost everyone who has died from COVID-19 in the past many months has been unvaccinated. Unvaccinated, he repeated. Still, the president rejected the idea that the U.S. would go back to March 2020 or impose new lockdowns, and said public health officials have the means this winter to keep schools open safely. Also from the White House, COVID coordinator Jeff Zients stated, "If you're vaccinated, we've done the right thing. And we will get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm." This is from ABC News. This is the mainstream narrative. I recommended in this posting that you apply the patch 180. Everything that they have said here is a bold-faced lie. We speak to, on a regular basis, healthcare professionals on the front lines from all over the world who are saying that the majority of those that are being admitted to hospital being seen in emergency rooms, in the doctor's offices and clinics, are the vaccinated, exactly as you and I all expected when we arrived at this point in time. Because we know what's in the vaccines, for the most part. Those components that we do know of in the vaccines, as we've been talking about specifically the last couple of live streams, we've been talking about the internet of the body, nano routers. I mean, it's just absurd. We probably will never know all of the ingredients, all of the components in the vaccines, but we know enough that we know that it's extremely dangerous, even deadly. And this is what they're pushing on our children. We've seen the mid-teens, the 15, 16-year-olds being diagnosed with pericarditis, inflammation of the pericardial sac surrounding the heart, filling with fluids. Okay? We know it is not the unvaccinated that are being admitted to the hospital in the majority of cases. The overwhelming majority are vaccinated. You know, there's a video clip that Kathleen shared with me a few days ago. And this gentleman is reciting sort of a verse, almost poetic. But it's like the dog chasing the tail, the cat chasing its own tail, the circular, illogical argument. It goes something like this. The person who is vaccinated is fearful of the unvaccinated. Now, obviously, I'm paraphrasing, I'm kind of tearing this apart. But we think about it. You all here, we've all encountered this illogical argument. Why should the vaccinated be fearful of the unvaccinated when supposedly the vaccine is protecting the vaccinated from the virus? And if we as the unvaccinated are carriers, even asymptomatic carriers of the virus, a vaccinated person, according to what the mainstream narrative puts out, should have nothing to fear from the unvaccinated, that they should be protected. And the illogical chasing of the tail argument is, oh, but no, you must be, the mainstream narrative saying, you, the vaccinated, must be fearful of the unvaccinated, because they still pose a danger to you. This is delusional thinking. It goes beyond the illogical to the delusional. But we as the unvaccinated are expected to bow down on our knee before the Bidens and the Faucis, et cetera, of the world, that somehow these morons know what's best for us and we're supposed to bow down to them and submit? I don't think so. I only bow down to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God our Father. You know, I really did not want to do a technical Tuesday tonight. I think you can tell. It's not appropriate. Thursday, I know we are not going to do a technical presentation on Thursday. Because we find ourselves caught up in the sobering thoughts of what is going on while the rest of the world is trying to play Christmas. We hear, when we go in, someone posted this in band, we go into the retail stores and we hear the music and the Christmas songs and the Christmas carols, and we hear, you know, Dean Martin, for example, singing Christmas carols. How disingenuous of a person could you possibly get to sing Christmas carols, Christmas songs, than Dean Martin, a falling down, drunk, womanizer, drug using moron? And to my ear, at least, when I hear him singing these songs, it's obvious to me that he's drunk. So listen to it the next time when you hear him singing any of those Christmas songs. It's obvious that he's drunk. And he represents Christmas in the retail establishment. He represents going back to normal. And the vaccinated drift through the aisles of the stores as Scar was admonishing the hyenas in that video clip. The vacant look in the eyes. Not all the lights are on. The hyenas are the vaccinated drifting through the stores, listening to Dean Martin singing about Christmas. Give me a break. That's normal. That's what's held out as the standard. Should you be vaccinated, you get to go back to that. You get to go back to Disney. You get to go back to the Olympics. You get to go back to the world if you're vaccinated. I think not. We sort of euphemistically said we gave you some homework assignments to watch Gattaca, to watch Cell, to watch Human Nature, the documentary on CRISPR. If you haven't, I would ask you, please, make time to watch all three of those. Very sobering. Predictive programming. And as I shared with respect to CRISPR, it's Model T technology compared to what is being delivered into the arms of all of the vaccinated, including the children. It goes far beyond the genetic manipulation of CRISPR. Far beyond. And beyond just the genetic modification or all of the other technologies that are being delivered by way of the vaccines. Someone posted in band that the rollout of 5G has been, at least in the United States, has been postponed until February, I think it was. February 4th, I believe. Because of concerns of interference with the onboard navigational aids on commercial aircraft. That 5G Wi-Fi would interfere with the avionics of commercial airliners. And so the throwing of the switch scenario possibly being delayed. I consider it a red herring. There's nothing being postponed here. There's nothing being delayed. In fact, it's all being accelerated. They are rushing to the reset. They are rushing to the indoctrination of Scar as their king, while the rest of the world cheers and worships Scar the king, who will provide them their gifts, their prizes, their rewards. Quid quo pro was cited by Scar. I give you something, but I expect something in return. Quid quo pro. If I gift you something, I expect something in return. If I gift you the final solution, the vaccines, I expect something in return. I expect you to bow down on your knee and worship me, says Scar, the Antichrist. And the vacant looking hyenas of the world will be only more than happy to worship Scar, the Antichrist, because they've been given back their lives. They've been gifted their lives. They've been gifted a return to normal. They've been gifted their jobs. They've been gifted whatever it is that they're seeking. But in return, they must get down on their knees and worship the Antichrist. You see, God gives all of us this information, like these video clips. You all send it to us. We review it, and if appropriate, we present it here. That's the timing of God. God is revealing. These are messages. We don't have to look very deeply to realize the timing of the revealing of these things, 1992, 1996, I mean, come on. You and I are wide awake, so to speak. We are not the woke generation. We are not the hyenas. And we choose not to live in a world that is dark, in the world of Scar. So many of the Disney movies, they show the dark, black, bleak environment under the evil one that is under control and ruling and reigning. Look at The Wizard of Oz. Okay? We don't want to live in a world like that. And yet the hyenas of the world all seem to think, this is wonderful, this is great, a return to normal. We don't care what we have to give up. Sorry, but I think of the Christmases that I worked. And it's not for sympathy's sake that I'm bringing this up. It has nothing to do with that. I think of those that are not so fortunate to have a roof over their heads, to have plenty of warm food to eat, warm clothing, and people that love them, and people that they can love. There are so many in the world that are so destitute. And yet we have billionaires all over the planet who don't even value money. They're so wealthy. And you think of the good that could be done with that wealth, but it's not to be. The only good that comes of money is to do away with it, to do away with this world. Because that's what happened when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes back, when he returns. He and God burn the elements. And the world is renewed and the world is reborn. And that is the world that we choose to live in. And this is why many of us are so desperate to reach out to others and to save them, to warn them for the sake of their souls. But they don't see it. They're the hyenas. They can't see it. They can't comprehend it. So I am left with thinking about Christmas coming up on Saturday, and Kathleen and I will share Christmas together, but not with our children. And we're not looking for sympathy. If anything, it makes us more sensitive to those that are suffering, those that do not have families, and families that are broken. It makes us more sensitive because we've walked in those shoes. We live it every day. I express this to you only so that you understand that we understand to the degree that we're capable. We understand many of you are hurting, many of you are alone. Now, we don't consider ourselves to be alone. It's just the separation from our own children leaves us with that feeling of loneliness. But certainly, we don't need anyone's sympathy. We have the Lord, and all that he has blessed us with in our friendship and fellowship with all of you. You all sustain Kathleen and me. This is a very personal relationship that we have with you. And so we only hope and pray that we can help to carry you through these somber days, these days with a new rule. It certainly does not feel like the Christmas that I recall from my childhood. It's very sad that there's no longer a Charlie Brown Christmas. We can only hope and pray that in the New Jerusalem, in the New Earth, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ruling and reigning, that we will have a return to a Charlie Brown Christmas. God bless you all, and good night.